gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's Tuesday, it's Dave Chatsmith on Basingstoke Community Radio. And of course, it is the time for Claire, the garden editor, who's on the line today. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yourself?
I'm very well, but please, can someone actually bring in summer now? I'm very bored of this
weather. Oh, no. I don't know whether to put my jumper on, take my jumper off, put my jumper on. Oh, dear.
All the layers.
Yeah. Pathetic.
All the layers, indeed.
I'm even sitting in the studio and my hands are cold.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very odd, isn't it? But never mind. There's always gardening to be done. And, you know, skin is waterproof.
Far too busy to do that. Far too busy.
Well, should we see what our lovely listeners have asked in terms of questions? Because we thought today we're going to do some questions.
We are. I'll hand over to you then, because you've got them in front of you, haven't you?
I do. I have the list. And some of them are a bit scribbled because my handwriting is really, really bad, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But thank you. If you wrote in a question, we really appreciate them. So thank you so much. So the first one we'll kick off is Fran from Oakley. Hi, Fran. And you are asking, what is a fast-growing vegetable that you can plant in June? Now, a lot of people have been having this problem because, do you know why? Those slugs have eaten everything, everyone's veg.
Well, I must say, since we spoke about slugs, we've changed where our lettuces are, and they are blooming.
That's good to know.
But there you go. Yeah. So I'm quite pleased about that. Sorry. Well, let's get back to Fran's question. Sorry.
No. That's a good point. I'm very glad to hear that because there's been so much slug trauma around the place. That's always good to hear a success. So well done. So Fran, my top tips for anything that you're going to grow to eat. I would say it has to pass two tests. First off, do you like growing that? Do you like eating that plant? So there's no point growing lots and lots of stuff if you just don't like it. You know, if you don't like courgettes, don't plant courgettes because you'll end up with loads of them and you'll be sick of them. So grow it if you like it. And my other top tip is grow it if it's expensive to buy in the shops. So things like rhubarb and stuff like that, I always say it's worthwhile growing those because it's much cheaper than buying them out in the shops. But so subject to those two things, this is my list of things you can still sow and grow in June. We're on the 11th of June, that there's still time this year. So you can now start to sow carrots for harvesting this autumn. So very thin little seed, put it down, cover it in small little drills. You can do it in between other crops if you've got other things going on. Very fine sowing, and then as they come up, thin them out carefully to avoid the carrot fly, which can kind of smell carrot seed a million miles away, in my view. The other things, if you're not a fan of carrots, you can still grow squash, which are great because you can store them over winter. You can get really funky, cool looking ones. They look like drums, I think, some of them, these gourds. They look mad.
What is the point of squash then?
Pumpkins because Halloween.
Oh yeah, all right.
Two, because some people really like them. It's back to point one. Do you like eating squash?
No.
So that is the thing. So if you're not in the squash club, don't grow squash.
I'm not in the squash club, no.
You're not in the squash club.
Not.
You might be in lettuce club though.
Lettuce club.
Yeah, from the sound of it. And there's still time to grow lettuce and kohlrabi and mizuna and rocket and those very quick germinating salad crops. And the great thing about them is they pass my test too, which is, are they expensive to buy in the shops? Yes, they are. So if you like them and you want to be in lettuce club, those are things you can sow now and sow directly from seed.
Good. Hope that answers your question, Fran.
Yep. And my final one, if you want to be really exotic, you can still grow French beans and runner beans. So my top one would be get yourself some really, really fun borlotti beans, which are red and green and look really cool. They look like works of art. And you can still get those in the ground now if you're very quick. Get some runners up, get some bean poles to support them, plant them direct 2 or 3 inches below and watch them romp away and have fun with that. So, Fran, I hope that gives you some choices there.
Yeah, well done for that, Fran. Hopefully, we're all round to Fran's for beans and lettuce and rocket.
Unless you're not in squash club. If she wants to grow squash, that's fine. Lovely. So our next question was from Barry in Popley. So thank you very much for your question, Barry. You were asking about, is it better to use my homemade compost, or should I buy pre-made compost to put on my garden beds? What a fantastic question, Barry. Thank you so much for this. Compost is a kind of a very loose term we use, which can mean a whole multitude of things. It can be stuff that we do in our use in our gardens that we've grown from our own plants and off cuttings. We can talk about things like organic mulches, which aren't things we would plant directly in, but we'd mix in with our soil and things like that. So it depends what you're using them in your garden beds for, Barry, is the first thing I would say. The thing about buying in compost is it's more likely to be guaranteed to be weed free from any pernicious weeds or any kind of seeds that you might have in your homegrown compost. The reason being, your homegrown compost is unlikely to get to the very high temperatures which are needed to kill off weed seeds. There are certain exceptions to that, but if that's a kind of concern for you, if you know you've got kind of bindweed or ground elder in your compost patch and you want to use your veg, keep your beds nice and clean, I'd err on the side of caution and get some in. But the advantage of your homegrown stuff is it's free, it's there, and it's a great source of organic matter and getting goodness back into the soil. So, and you can always mix it in with other forms of compost if you don't have enough, because quite often what you end up with a big pile, it's a bit like cooking mushrooms. You know, when you chop mushrooms and you cook them and you start with a massive pile or spinach and it just wilts down to nothing. Quite often with compost, it does kind of rot down and cook down over time. We don't really recommend these days to plant directly into compost. We always suggest you mix it in with your topsoil, and the reason being is because compost has a lot of air in it, which means that once you get the rain, your plant sinks down into the ground, and sometimes that can cause your plants to drown, to basically suffocate a bit. So that's why we suggest if you are planting with compost, you mix it in with your topsoil so you don't actually end up with your plants sinking down into the ground after the compost has rotted down a bit. So, Barry, I hope that helps. Let us know what you choose to do, and whether if you've got any weed problems or whether your compost is beautiful, in which case I'm bringing my wheelbarrow round to your house.
Watch out for that, Barry. He's got a
Absolutely,
big
not even
wheelbarrow.
joking. We now know where you live in Popley.
Yeah, that's right.
So moving on, our next question is from Becky in Oak Ridge, and Becky's asking a great question. What are some easy native UK flowering plants that are easy to grow and care for and are good for pollinators? This is a brilliant question, Becky. Looking after our pollinators is really important. We are in a biodiversity crisis, and planting things which support our native pollinators, whether that's bees, moths, earwigs, all the rest of it, hoverflies, is really, really good. So you sound like you've got some really good ideas. You live in Oak Ridge. I've not done a soil analysis there, but I'm assuming you might have some kind of chalky alkaline soil, a lot of like what we have in our native chalklands around Basingstoke. And there are two plants I'd really recommend for you. The first one is something called an ox-eye daisy. And I think you need to have a klaxon buzzer day, because I'm going to use the Latin words again. So this is called Leucanthemum vulgare. So there you are. So you can do your klaxon for the Latin. But it's the native oxeye daisy. It's a really big daisy. You might see them out on the meadows and the verges at the moment. Big white flat petals and a large landing space. So it's great for pollinators like hoverflies and others which need a big landing space in which to get the nectar. It is quite vigorous, I would say. So if you have a very small space, you might not want to do it, because it can dominate over time. I have it in my front garden because I don't have lawn, so I have a whole hump of this and it's great fun. But it can get a bit overruly, but it is certainly easy to care for. Likes poor soil, full sun, and it will just go away. If you want something a little bit more understated, I would go for the field scabious, which is beautiful pale pink and pale purple pinhead cushions with tiny little flowers coming off it. And the klaxon should go off for this one. The Latin name for this one is Nautia arvensis. So not Nautia as in you, Dave, have been naughtier than me this week, but Nautia as in K-N-A-U-T-I-A. Nautia arvensis. But if you just type in field scabious, you should get that. And you can grow that from seed or you can grow that from plants. And again, it just like that really well-drained soil, great for pollinators, lots of nectar and looks really, really pretty. So I hope those two give you some ideas, Becky, and let us know how you get on with your pollinator plants. I'm very excited to see that. That's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, Dave, you can choose now. Shall we go to Caroline from Alresford or Paul from Bramley?
Let's go to Caroline first.
Okay, this is a lovely question. Caroline, I've had some building work done in my house and I've had to move my oil tank in my back garden. It's now in the centre of the garden. I've put a fence up round it. What can I grow up it to hide it? I was thinking about growing clematis with this work. This is a great question because this is exactly what I spend a lot of my time doing, which is helping people with design
hiding
problems.
Oil tanks.
Exactly. Real life
right,
things.
Okay.
Where do you put your washing line? What
That's
about
right.
the water butt?
That's
All
right.
This type of stuff. It's real life. So the first thing I would do, and to quote a very famous song, is I would paint your fence black. I would paint it black or dark grey. And the reason I would do this is because it makes the structures disappear if you paint them in darker colors, because then if when you plant plants in front of them, your eye is drawn to the plants and actually you forget about the background. So you want your oil tanker to disappear as much as possible and not become a feature and not something that you feel dominates your area. So first of all, I paint it dark gray or black, something to, or a dark green, maybe something to recede the eye and take your eye off it. And then in terms of growing plant up around it, I think you said you're on clay, Caroline. Clematis could do well, but they're not evergreen and they don't give you year-round interest. So it will give you certain times of the year. Some of the evergreen clematis are nice, but their flowers are really tiny. So you're not going to see them unless you're right beside your oil tanker, which I suspect you don't want to be doing. There are some nice ones like Wisley Cream and Christmas Bells, but I think they're probably a bit too small for you. So my suggestion would be to go for an evergreen climber like the chocolate plant, which has little green leaves and then has purple five-leaved flowers, which actually smell of chocolate. Really, really nice. And that's called Akiba Quintana.
He was in The Lion King, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
A bit like Hakuna Matata, wasn't it? Reminds me of the cyclist, Quintana, who was a cyclist. So anyway, Akiba Quintana. And that's great for full sun. Really good in that. If you've got a shady bit, Hydrangea petiolaris will climb up a oil tanker fence, but it won't need any attachment. It will just naturally climb. It's a bit of a sulker, so it won't ramp up in year one or two, but once it gets going, it's a really good covering. So that's what I would do if you want to plant round it. But my more radical suggestion would be plant a tree or a nice pretty shrub between you and that tanker. So between where you have your kitchen or your sitting room, cut a hole in your lawn and put a really pretty cherry tree or a really pretty crab apple or something like that. And again, that means that your eye is not going to be taken to the tanker and then what's around it, but something far more visually interesting and grabbing your attention closer to where you are. So I hope that helps, Caroline, and good luck with it. It must be a lot of work when you're moving an oil tanker. That sounds like a life experience that is pretty challenging, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good idea, though, that chocolate plant around it. I wouldn't mind that.
No,
big
no,
chocolate
absolutely.
Plant around a big tanker.
Yeah.
That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
It'd
smell
it
nice as well, wouldn't it?
It does. It doesn't like give you dairy milk, but it's as good as close as you can get.
Well,
and that
yeah.
brings us to Paul's question to close with. And Paul is asking, what time is the best time of year to prune roses in the UK?
Well, I'd say any time that Claire's able to come around and do it, really.
Well, do you remember one of the very first sessions we did was back in It was on February the 14th.
It
It
was.
was on
That was the
Valentine's
that
Day.
was that the very first one. That was the very first show,
I
wasn't it?
think it very much was. I
Not
think it very much
that
was.
that was last, not last year, year before. No,
Yeah,
no.
that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Year
That's
and a
it.
half
Yeah,
you've been listening to
because
me talk about
you found a
plants.
rose with my name, didn't you?
I did. I did.
Yeah.
Do you know, I can't remember it now, but I did. So anyway, Paul,
Grumpy old
basically
git on it, wasn't it? A
the
grumpy old git on it. Sorry, God,
I
sorry.
don't
Let's
like to
get back to,
wash.
yeah, let's go back to Paul's question.
So, Paul, so the best time to prune roses is when they are dormant in the winter. So, in the winter, once all the leaves have dropped off and the flowers have gone, then you can see the structure of your rose plant. And that's when you take out, first of all, what anything which is dead, diseased, or dying, any really old woody bits which just look like they've got no life left in them. And then you reduce the amount of your rose. So, typically, if it's a shrub rose in a kind of a shrubby form, you'd be taking down half to a third of the height and taking it down to some outer facing buds. So that's a really big prune. Then you give it a bit of a feed and a bit of a mulch. So not now for that big prune. What you might want to be doing at this time of year is deadheading your roses, which means once your roses have flowered and are starting to look brown and crispy, is you get a pair of secateurs and you snip off beneath the bud. And what that does is it stops the energy going into turning that old crispy flower head into rose hips. And the energy is then sent down to the next bud on your branch, which means that bit will then flower. So if you want to have lots of flowers now, deadheading and snipping off and taking out those dead and overgrown roses will really help. You could leave them all as they are, and then that will form rose hips. So if you like rose hip jelly, which goes back to point one and point two of my grow what you like and what's expensive to buy. If you want to have rose hips, don't touch any of them. Just let them go all the way to seed and form those beautiful rose hip heads. But if you want to prioritize lots of flowers, deadhead as you go, and the more you do that, the more blooms you will get along the way. And then listen back to our episodes. We'll do some more winter ones, maybe about rose pruning, because I think it's a popular one. But
Yeah,
hold off on
yeah.
the big cutback for now, Paul.
Got some good questions there today.
Well, I have to say, the listeners we have are brilliant at coming up with extra questions. I want to go to Fran's for her food. I want to go to Barry's and nick his compost, please.
Yeah.
Becky to see her pollinators.
Yeah.
Caroline
Well,
to see
you
her
want to
new
swerve,
planting.
Caroline's, because you've got a big oil tanker in a garden.
I know, but it's now smelling beautiful with a chocolate vine.
Well, yeah, there's that, yeah.
And I want to go and sniff Paul's roses. So there we go.
Well, there you go. So yeah, thank you for all the questions, and if you do get have any more questions, you can always send them into the studio, and I'll always pass them on to Claire. But this week, Claire, is I'll let you say what I know what it is. What week is it this week, Claire? It is
Oh, my track of the week this week is a really
no,
good one.
not
Oh,
that.
sorry. Oh,
Oh,
yes.
see,
No,
you get
no.
you're getting well
I'm so
ahead of
sorry.
yourself,
This
aren't
week
you?
is Big Green Week.
Big
So
Green
there are
Week, that's
big
right.
green weeks. So if you follow any on the social media, anything like Natural Basingstoke or Sustainable Basingstoke or Sustainable Overton or any of the villages around the area, you'll see there are huge numbers of events on, whether that's pond dipping, wildlife talks. In Overton, where I live, we are doing a sustainable fashion show of people who've made their own clothes or have upcycled things. We've got things for all ages. We've got junk modelling going on with Junk Shop Jodie. So all sorts of things which, if you want to find out how you can have fun and also be green, there are loads of events and activities taking part across the whole of the borough. So please do join in if you can. And
Because
thank you very much, Dave, to remind me.
you're quite into green stuff, though, aren't you? I don't mean garden stuff. I mean green as in environmental stuff.
Yes,
Yeah.
I am, but I'm also very aware that it's hard and we don't need to be perfect. We just need to do one little step. If one person's perfect and shouts at us all, it just makes the rest of us feel depressed. But if we all just try and do one thing which we feel we can do, we can make a huge difference together.
So
So,
as it's Green Week then, what would you suggest one thing for that someone could do? That just say someone, they're not really fussed about Green Week. What's one thing they could do that's not gonna they're not gonna think, oh, I can't do that? An
Oh,
easy
nice.
it must it's I'll put you right on the spot there.
Really easy thing.
Yeah.
When you boil the kettle, boil what you need. So don't fill the kettle if you're just doing it for a cup of tea. I know it sounds silly, but one, it saves you money, and
Yeah.
two, It costs a huge amount of electricity for your kettle. For those of you who've got smart meters, you'll know this. And if you do accidentally boil too much water, I always have a thermos by my kettle. So all the hot water just goes straight in the thermos. And
Look
that
at
means then
you.
I can, yeah, I know. So that's the stretch target. But just when you have a cup of tea, just make sure you fill the kettle to what you need. That would
What you
be my,
need. Just use
indeed.
what you need.
Use what you need. That's a great philosophy of life.
There you go. Right. Anything
Right.
else you want to talk about Green Week?
And no, I think that's it. I've probably talked far too much as normal.
Okay.
So
Right.
I'll shut
Well,
up now.
okay. What's your track for today then?
The track for this week is a great one, and this is from Sally in Oakley. Thank you, Sally. I love this track.
Yeah, thanks for that,
She
Sally.
suggested it for me,
Yeah, I didn't
and
have
I thought it was
that, but to go and
perfect.
find it.
Yes, and it is. This track of this week is There Are More Questions Than Answers by Johnny Nash. So
Well,
thank you, Sally.
thank you very much, Sally. And we play that for you after the ads, all right? So just like we normally do. I'm not going to see you next week because you're not here next week, and I'm on holiday next week.
Oh, exciting. Well,
Yeah.
we'll catch up
So
when you're
I'll speak.
back.
Yeah, well, so it'll be not next week, but the week after, as normal then.
Indeed, and we'll talk about container gardening. So if you've got
Container
any
gardening.
questions about
What,
that,
like shipping containers?
oh, I was just thinking pot plants on
Oh,
balconies,
that's
but
right.
if
Yeah,
you
that's
want to, yeah.
no. Because with Caroline with that oil tanker, she ain't got room for a shipping container as well.
No, let's keep it simple and keep it
Yes.
achievable. But yeah,
All right.
container planting, the things with pots, things with balconies, that type of stuff. We'll go through that type of thing. So send us your
Lovely.
questions if you have any.
Perfect. And I'll speak to you in 2 weeks then.
And have a wonderful holiday.
I will. Have a good Green Week. See you later.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.